Colossians chapter 2, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians. I have here on the board written the fact that we have a vertical line that signifies salvation on the left side. On the right side, we have another vertical line that signifies glorification, which is the destiny of every Christian. And then we have between those two lines a line that hopefully is on the incline, going from left to right, going up, which is the process of sanctification. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2 warns us of those teachers and those individuals who will come and try to drag this line down. So rather than going on an incline, they will keep trying to drag you down. Twice Paul speaks about being beware of those who beguile you, beware of those that spoil you or rob you of what God has provided for you and the way that God wants you to live the Christian life, and beware of those that judge you. And one of the things that you'll see is that they will try to beguile you and spoil you and judge you and drag you down by taking you back to a biblical program that is no longer for us today. And that is the law system, the prophetic program. What God gave to the Jews under law and how different that is today when we are under grace. And so the warning comes in chapter 2 and verse 4. We have the first warning. And this I pray, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And then the second one in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and the key here, and not after Christ. The third warning is in verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath day. And then finally in verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So there are several issues here that Paul addresses, and we will see how Paul answers each one of these and the protection that we have for each of these warnings. The first one then is beware of being beguiled with enticing words. And so Paul goes on in verse, right after he issues that warning in verse 4, he says in verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, a reminder that Paul had never met the Colossians when he writes to them, and yet he has a deep concern for their spiritual well-being, and in fact is very much aware of their spiritual progress and their spiritual condition and their spiritual needs. And that's why he writes this letter to them. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. In my heart, I'm there with you. I'm present. I'm very much aware of what's going on. I'm very much concerned about your spiritual well-being. And then he says something about the Colossians. He said, joying and beholding your order. He's not just going on emotion here. He's going by the fact that there is order, spiritual order, and there's a steadfastness of their faith in Christ. And that brings great joy to the Apostle Paul. Joying and beholding your order. Why? Because he realized, as he heard from those who came and reported to him, that the Colossians were growing in grace. They were understanding truth. They were absorbing knowledge that was given by the Apostle Paul to them, growing in grace steadfastly and understanding, growing in their understanding steadfastly and advancing in knowledge steadfastly, resulting in an order in their midst. So everything was being done in order. There was no confusion. There was no turmoil. There were no divisions there. And yet Paul feels the urgency to warn them that what they have can be taken away from them. The life that they're living could be disrupted and disturbed by these people that come with enticing words and philosophies to drag them away from what they already have in Christ. To the Galatians, Paul wrote, after they had already been dragged away, they had stood in grace, they were strong, steadfast, and yet those that came teaching other doctrines bewitched them and spoiled them, robbed them of what was theirs in Christ. And so the Apostle Paul wants to prevent that from happening to the Colossians, and he says, you're doing well, be careful, because there are those who will try to rob you, which is really a warning to all of us. Beware, Scripture says, beware when you think that you stand, lest ye fall. Be careful. We always need to be on our spiritual guard, always. We cannot assume that because we've accumulated a certain amount of knowledge that we will be okay from here on out. It doesn't matter, because you could be dragged away, you could be deceived, unless you continue steadfastly growing and progressing. You hear certain things and you're enticed by them, and that's what Paul is saying here. Be careful, because they will beguile you with enticing words. They sound good. Many times they come from spiritual leaders. Many times they come with words that are very attractive. Many times they come quoting Scripture. And so you need to be very, very careful, is what Paul is saying. You're doing well. I rejoice in your order and the steadfastness of your faith. I behold your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Well done. You're doing well. Be careful. He goes on in verse 6, and he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's a key verse for the Christian life, because understanding how we received Christ Jesus the Lord, then we understand how we're to walk in him. How did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? Well, we received him by grace through faith. That's the way we received him, through faith. And Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, he said, that's the way we're supposed to walk in him. Walk the exact same way as you received him. We came to the realization at some point that all of our effort was for naught. All of our religious activity was worthless. All of the so-called good works that we accumulated were, as Paul calls them, dung, just a waste. They resulted in no spiritual benefit at all, and they did not result in getting closer to God, though these things may have made you feel like you were closer to God. You really were not. And so at some point, if you're a Christian, you came to the realization that is Christ alone, Christ exclusively, that you contribute absolutely nothing to your salvation, because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy that he saved us. And we are saved by grace through faith. And that is the way we're supposed to walk. Our walk is no different than our salvation. The way we continue in our Christian life is the way we started, by grace through faith. Don't think that you're going to add works in order to stay saved. Don't think that now that you're saved, which is what false teachers came and told the Galatians, yeah, now that you're saved by grace through faith, add some law. It's good for you because law keeps you from sinning. Law does exactly the opposite. Law, Paul teaches us extensively, stirs up all kinds of sin. It sets sin in motion in our lives. And God, through the Apostle Paul, tells us in many places in Scripture, including Colossians, what God has done with the law. We'll see that he nailed it to the cross. He got rid of it. Now, that may sound like heresy to some in the evangelical church or other of denominations that call themselves Christian, but then we've departed from Scripture because we need to get back to what God says in his word. And it's not by law that we are sanctified or law-keeping. It's by grace through faith. That's the way we live the Christian life. Because Paul makes very clear in Romans chapter 7 that we have died to the law, we've been delivered from the law, we've been set free from the law. Law no longer has jurisdiction over us. And yet the flesh loves law. And Christianity loves to put Christians under a law program and a law system. Do this, don't do that, and that's the way we evaluate the measure of spirituality in a Christian's life. And yet, that's absolutely not true. We are saved by nothing that we contribute to our salvation. We walk by grace through faith. And practically speaking, when Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, he says, I died with Christ. I died. Positionally, I died. Now make that practical in your daily experience. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this body, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the key. We are saved by the work of the Son of God on the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection. We live the Christian life because we're united together with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. You'll see that here in Colossians chapter 2, that Paul drives us back to our union with Christ, and that's the way we live the Christian life. Those are the details and the dynamics of how to live the Christian life, recognizing by faith, acknowledging that what God says about us is absolutely true. We have died with Christ. We've been buried with Christ. We've been made alive. We've risen with Christ. We've been made alive with him. And we have seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And Paul wants to make sure that the Colossian believers who will be attacked, who will have these philosophers, those people that come with enticing words and religious words and perhaps even quoting scripture, they will try to drag you away from the truth. Paul says, beware, be careful that no one beguiles you through philosophy, through man's imaginations of what is pleasing to God rather than what God says in his word. So that's the way we receive Christ. That's the way we are to walk. Now, the Galatians were beguiled. They were being judged. They were robbed. They were being spoiled. And Paul writes to them in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, and he says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has charmed you? Who has hypnotized you. How? Through words. That you should not obey the truth. When you go to obey law, the law of Moses, you are disobeying the truth. Quite shocking, isn't it? You're disobeying the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. In chapter 5 of Galatians, and verse 7, Paul says, ye did run well. The Colossians were running well. Paul was concerned for them that they would not end up like the Galatians. Ye did run well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? Why are you adding law to your lives and to your Christian experience when that's not what works? You see, you can try to obey the Mosaic law, and by doing so, disobey the truth. Interesting, and that's where it is so critical for us to understand what is it that God has written to the church, to the body of Christ. What has God said about us, and what applies to us? In chapter 3 and verse 13 of Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law brings a curse. The law is a judge. It'll judge you and condemn you every single time. But Christ had to go to the cross. Christ had to shed his blood and give his life, become a curse for us, so that he might redeem us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's what it took for Christ to redeem us. No works in order to be saved or stay saved, and no law works in order to progress in the Christian life and experience. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, having begun, if we're writing to the Colossians, having begun by grace through faith, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you so foolish? Are you so gullible? You've been beguiled. You've been bewitched. You've been robbed. And that's the very thing that Paul wants to protect the Colossians from. Remember, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, and verse 25. It is Christ who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Remember chapter 5, that we are justified by faith. And because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, justified, declared righteous by faith, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Why faith and why grace? Because not only is that the way we're saved, that's the way we're to walk. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected? Are you now maturing and being built up in the flesh? How crazy is that? Paul says. In chapter 3 of Romans and verse 24, being declared righteous, being justified freely by his grace. That's how we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, by grace through faith. It's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then chapter 5 of Romans and verse 20. Moreover, the law entered, here's the purpose, here's the reason, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, and sin abounded when law came in, sin became exceedingly sinful. Sin just kept on abounding. And yet where sin abounded, Paul says, grace did much more abound. Infinite marvelous, infinite grace that has been given to us and provided for us. By grace are we saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works. And so understanding that that's the only way we're saved is by grace through faith, and we contribute nothing to our salvation. And yet, the religious systems of this world, and unfortunately often Christianity and evangelical Christianity, promotes the addition of works as a requirement for salvation, works as a requirement for sanctification. The works that we work are a result of allowing Christ to live his life through us. They're not the means of sanctification. They're not the means of us being built up and edified and strengthened in our faith. And so, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, Paul says of us, he says that in the ages to come, God might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Back to Colossians chapter 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Interesting, so walk in him. So there's the walk of the Christian, by grace, through faith, apart from law works. Now notice what he says in Colossians 2:6. Whom did we receive? Christ, Jesus, the Lord. Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus, the Savior, his given human name. Christ as God, Jesus as man. Christ Jesus, he is the Lord, and he's the one whom we have received. The moment you're saved, you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. If you don't receive Christ Jesus the Lord, you don't receive anybody. You're not saved. And so this idea that, well, we receive Christ, we believe in Jesus, and then we need to make him Lord of our lives is nonsense. It is not consistent with the Word of God. Yes, we are to allow Christ to rule and reign in our lives once we've received him. But when we receive him, we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, not just a part of him. And then later we take on another part of him. We receive exactly who he is. All right, so Paul then says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's one of the protections that we have against those who will beguile you through philosophy and empty words, enticing words. Walk by grace through faith. That is a protection for you. Then Paul says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So Paul now says that we are rooted with him. When did we become rooted with him? At salvation. Rooted in him. But now that we are rooted in him, we need to be built up in him. Built up, rooted and built up in him. And what is the result of that? Well, Paul tells us in that verse, he says that we are established, which is very important, plus thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? Thanksgiving for the fact that we have been rooted and built up in him. And that's the formula that he presents here. That's the natural progression of what salvation is. Once you're saved, once you're rooted in Him, you need to continue to grow and progress in your Christian life and experience. We need to be built up in Him. And when we're built up in Him, we will then be established and we will be thankful, grateful for all that God has done for us in and through Christ. So rooted, built up, and established in the faith with thanksgiving. And so we're built up in Him. Acts 20, look at Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul is leaving the Ephesian elders. He's gathered them together as a last reunion with them to give them some final instructions before he goes off, departs, in closing his ministry with the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Paul says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to do what? To build you up." What is it that builds you up? It's the word of His grace that builds you up. It's the message that Paul has given to the church that builds you up. It's not the message that God has for Israel under law. That won't build you up. It's profitable to know and understand that, to know and understand the difference between what is given to us today and what is not. But what is it that builds us up? The word of His grace. That's the way Paul commends the Ephesian elders to God. It's not just, I commend you to God. I commit you to God. Whatever happens, happens. No, there's a context. And the focus is on the word of His grace. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to do what? To build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Sanctified. There's a positional sanctification which God accomplishes the moment we're saved. He makes us holy. There's a practical progressive sanctification, which is the process of being built up so that we are established in the faith. And that's what Paul says to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 7. So when he says that we are to walk as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, he says, how do we do that? Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. The faith is the word of His grace. The faith is that body of truth that has been given to the body of Christ, whereby we are built up in Him and established. The person that is built up and established is the person that is protected from those who come to beguile through philosophy and deceiving words, enticing words. That's the protection. And that's the protection that we need to build into our lives. That's the protection that we need to build into our children's lives, is the word of His grace. They need to know it. They need to understand it. They need to grasp it. They need to be built up by it. They need to be established, because trust me, there will be many forces against them as they progress through their lives. And the only protection that you can give to them is the word of His grace. It's not just about being saved. It's not just about being rooted. It's also about being built up, about being established. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says to the Corinthians, he's speaking to them about how you're going to build upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones is the word of his grace. Wood, hay, and stubble is kingdom truth for mystery saints. It doesn't work. It's not what builds you up. It's not what makes you steadfast. So you be careful how you build. Be careful, because we are building. And we're building upon the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And the gold, silver, and precious stones is the faith delivered to us. It's the word of his grace that we need to be deeply grounded upon and built up by, so that we are steadfast. It leads, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Established in the faith. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What Paul says in his opening words to the Corinthians, in verse 4, he says, you know, with all the problems that the Corinthians had, with all the practical nonsense that was going on there in their practice, a lot of expression of sinful flesh. They hadn't grown, and yet in their position in Christ, Paul says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Christ Jesus. That's when you were rooted in him. It's when you were saved, you received all that. That in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, the manifestation of spiritual gifts in the church's infancy were displayed at Corinth, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you. That word confirm is the same word that is used in Colossians 2:7, establish. Confirm you. It will make you strong. It will make your root system to go deep in the word of his grace, so that you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, so that you don't believe the philosophies and the imaginations of men that come to you in enticing words, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's positional truth. They will be blameless. We are already without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 1. But the problem with the Corinthians is that they weren't growing. They weren't being built up and established practically. And so they had all kinds of problems because of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul once again uses this word. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, he says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. He who is constantly confirming us is God. Now, when Paul wrote to the Romans and to us the basic foundational doctrines in the book of Romans, he opened his letter to them in chapter 1, verse 11, by saying, the reason I'm writing to you is that you may be established. That you may be established in the faith. When he closes the letter to the Romans in chapter 16, verse 25, he said that you may be established in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's the word of his grace. You can't get away from it. You cannot be established, built up and established in any other way. Everything else is a substitute, including scripture that we use that does not apply directly to us. And you will see in Colossians chapter 2 how Satan's plan of evil is to drag the Christian away from the truth, is to keep us from being built up and established in the faith. And don't think that he's not paying attention to you in your life, because you and I are his target. If he can keep us indifferent to spiritual things, got no problem with us, as long as you stay indifferent. If we stay active, engaged in listening and studying the scripture, but we accept scripture that is not directly related to us, he's won the battle, because he will keep you from being built up and established in the word of his grace. As long as you start keeping law, as long as you start listening to the teachings of the word of God that were not meant for us, he's okay, because he keeps you religious, and he'll keep you proud of your religion. But you can't get away from being established and confirmed in the faith, the word of his grace. Now, once you understand, and Paul is bringing this to the forefront in the Colossians, because he says, beware, there are those that are going to come with philosophies and enticing words. He said, be sure that you walk as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him by grace through faith, recognizing that you've been rooted in him, recognizing that we need to be built up in him. The result of that is to be established, and it results in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for all that God did to cause us to be rooted in him. All the provisions that God has made so that we could be built up in him. It's all about him. It's all about him. And so, what is it that we're thankful for in our Christian life and experience? Thankful for a good job? Sure. Thankful that we have enough to sustain us each day and comfortably? Okay. Happy that we have possessions? Thankful for that. Thankful for position. Thankful for winning in sports. Paul says, really, that the thanksgiving he's talking about here is thankful for what he's done for us, what he has done for us, and who he has made us in Christ. That's the purpose, and that's the source of our thanksgiving, who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. That's real thanksgiving. That's biblical thanksgiving. And that's what God says happens when you understand spiritual truth. So the next thing that Paul says, go back to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. So now we have been warned, and we've been given the instructions of how we're to be established, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught by those who came to teach them Paul's message. And that's how Paul is linked to the Colossians. They've listened to the message that Paul proclaimed. They have understood the mystery truths for the body of Christ, and they're abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now comes the second warning. Beware, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. And as we saw in our last study, the word spoil you is to rob you. Beware lest any man rob you. How? Through a philosophy, which is the love of wisdom, and vain deceit. So we get enticing words in verse 4. We get vain deceit. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so those are the warnings that Paul issues. What is the protection that we have from that? We have a whole list of those, starting with chapter 2 and verse 9. Well, actually, the last words of verse 8 give you the key. So these people come, they rob you through the love of wisdom, through philosophy, through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. The key is Christ, and not after Christ. Christ is the focal point. Christ is the source of our spiritual blessings and of our spiritual progress and of us being established and built up, and the source of our thanksgiving is Christ. And so Christ is the one who is the answer, and not after Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom, in Christ, also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and so forth, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in verse 12, raised with him at the end of verse 12. Verse 13, quickened together with him. Verse 14, it's his cross. Verse 15, it's his cross in it, referring to the cross. Verse 17, the body, the substance is Christ. And the problem is, verse 19, not holding to the head, who is Christ, the head of the body. Verse 20, wherefore if you be dead with Christ. In verse 1 of chapter 3, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God, and so do you. Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. No wonder Paul says in the last part of verse 8 in chapter 2 that they're trying to drag you down, not after Christ. When Christ is not an issue, he's the only issue. He's the only source of our blessing. He's the only way that we can be built up and established in the faith. It's all about preaching Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. That's the way we learn him. That's the word of his grace. It's Christ. And so Paul says in Ephesians certain things about us, and it's all because of who we are in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, a verse that we've taught on and quoted many times here because it's such a key verse to the Christian life and experience. Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, if he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, then there's no more blessings to be had, because the blessings that he has given us are infinite. They have no measure, no proportion. All those blessings have already been given to us. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it's all in Christ. In Christ. And Paul was concerned for the Colossians that they would be beguiled and spoiled through vain deceits, through the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's all about Christ. It's in him that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Verse 6 of Ephesians 1, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted before a holy God in the beloved, in Christ, fully accepted, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have complete, full, absolute redemption. The salvation that we possess and that Christ offers us free is because he paid the price when he shed his blood and gave his life, in whom we have redemption through his blood, We have forgiveness of sins because of his redeeming work on the cross. Forgiveness of sins does not come any other way, not through your confessions, not through being absolved by men. It comes through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and it comes to us according to the riches of his grace, not according to the grace or the provision of men, and not according to your own effort or works. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. Here it is. And the problem that Paul was warning the Colossians about, be careful that no one rob you through philosophies and vain deceits, empty words, deceptions, and not after Christ. If it's not after Christ, it's no good, because it is all about Christ. Because apart from Christ, everything else is at best temporary and it's worthless. Everything else. It's all about Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 2. Why Christ? Well, because according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if in him dwells all the fullness, the completeness, the totality of the Godhead in bodily form, there's nothing else left. Who God is in Christ. Christ is God. And so no wonder when Christ was here on earth, he rebuked Philip and he said, you want to see the Father? He says, he who has seen me has already seen the Father. How could he say that? It's because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, in bodily manifestation. So in Christ, all of that is revealed and exposed to us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What fullness? All the fullness of the Godhead. He is God. Apart from Christ, there's nothing else that is worth it. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul's prayer is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He's speaking to Christians. That you being rooted, there it is again, rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God. Experience in practice that which is already yours in position. You have already been given all spiritual blessings. But now, Paul says something else in Colossians. A magnificent truth for us and for the Colossians to know. He says in verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What about you? He says, you are complete. Complete in Christ. Complete. All spiritual blessings have been given to us in Christ, and we are complete. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's a great place to be. That's the best place to be, complete in Him. When you're complete, there's nothing lacking. It's all yours. We have wealth that is spiritual in nature, unmeasurable, with no limitations, infinite in its proportions. And people, through their teaching, people through their philosophies, people through enticing words, people through vain deceits and traditions of men and the rudiments of this world will try to drag you away from enjoying the truth and the reality of all the spiritual blessings that you have in Christ and the completeness which is ours in Christ. You are complete in Christ. So don't allow these beguilers, these spoilers, these judges to drag you away from the reality of what is already yours in Christ. Be built up in that. Be built up in it. Become established by accepting, studying, becoming immersed, and rejoicing in the word of His grace. The faith which has been delivered to us that we're to believe and stand on and grow by and become strong and established. That's the great protection that we have. And it's the only protection that we have from all those forces that Satan will try to use in his plan of evil against us to keep us from it. No reason to do that. Because we are more than conquerors. Through Him who loved us, we have all of the provisions, we have all the weapons of warfare. Paul says that we're to take the weapons of our warfare, which are not fleshly, they're not physical in nature, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every thought and every imagination captive to obedience to the word of His grace. Paul constantly trying to draw us back to the foundation, to the truth, to that which is the answer to our faith. And that's what it means to walk, even as you receive Christ, by grace through faith. Draw from the word of His grace. Be strong, be built up, and rejoice in it. Be thankful for that, because we have so much to be thankful for. We of all people should be so thankful for all that we have and all that we are in Christ. And so Paul wants us to experience that, to know that, to live life protected by His provisions. And if we're not, it's because we have failed in our responsibility to stand strong in the word of His grace and to be built up. This is the normal course of the Christian life, but it is our responsibility to engage in it. It's our responsibility to grow in His grace and to be built up by receiving the word of His grace and not being enticed and deceived by those other doctrines that will come at you to drag you down and away from what God has for us.